are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Well, here we are again. Welcome to Fishbowl Podcast. Welcome, friends, fans, and foes. I want everybody to come on board and be a part of this event that we do every Tuesday, because the goal here is to, I think we've forgotten this in the industry, the goal is to pass information forward, not necessarily hide it. Look, I think that it's important that we keep a certain amount of secrets a secret. I do get that. There's no reason to be completely 100% transparent. You know, we all have our little secret sauce as far as what makes us make a bicep grow or make that body part respond. So I understand that. But aside from that, I think it's important that we, you know, share information. I think that I would just love to have people that are my critics come on and let's talk about differences. I think it's okay to do that. And, you know, rather than call me out on the socials, I'm okay with that. But come on, let's come on the podcast and let's talk about it. See what we can come up with. We can come up with a better widget. That's important. I think that it's important that we remember to ask ourselves certain things. I think that it's part of discipline. And, you know, discipline is when it comes right down to it, once the honeymoon is over, we've talked about this before, you're going to have to rely on discipline. And it's something that we need to keep asking ourselves and keep reminding ourselves that going into the gym I like to think of it as war. Obviously, it's not real war, you know, when you think about what's going on in today's world. But to a degree, it's war. You are, as an individual, you are waging war on yourself every time that you go into the gym. And it's important to remember that it's you against you. I think that's a lyric or a line in one of the Rocky songs. It's you against you. At the end of the day, this is what it is. You know, it's important to have partners and all that stuff. And we've talked about that, but you really have to really come to grips with this is a war that you're waging against yourself. That logical or that logic of thinking makes no sense. But, you know, no one ever said that, you know, being in the sport was normal, because it's not. And, you know, not everybody is going to be on board with that. It doesn't matter, does it now? And so it's you against you, you know, of mind and body. This is the art of what I call the art of tunnel vision. Where I really learned this, you know, because anybody that's been involved in training for as long as I have, and there's many of you that are out there that have been training forever. And I think to some degree, you're of mind and body. In other words, being one. I really saw that when I had Robbie Robinson come in for a seminar that we did. Well, he was a great example of that. Just being one, his mind and his body were just one thing that was just moving through space. It was pretty phenomenal to actually see in the way that he did that. But you have to keep that in mind. It's tunnel vision. You know, it's as much as you, you know, you have to have the ability to adapt on the fly, which means that you have to be able to think outside that tunnel sometimes. But at the heart of what we do in the gym, considering the fact that it's one of the most unnatural things for you to do, is to put your body through a stress that, you know, for putting on muscle, especially, it goes against everything that your physiology is about. And if you don't have that tunnel vision in that sense, then you're just not going to accomplish what you want. You just won't. And yet you have to, like I said, you have to be able to adapt on the fly, adapt or die in some cases, and not be so rigid, so tunnel vision that you can't see the forest from the trees. So just keep remembering that along the way. It's something that just goes on and on. I mean, when you're training in the gym for lots of years, I mean, let alone just week to week, these are things that you have to keep reminding yourself, you know, that this is the, this is what goes into being successful at what you do.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Keep in mind that temporary irritation is necessary. The only way that your body can respond and with results, whether it's putting on muscle, creating or developing endurance or strength, you have to temporarily irritate the body, irritate your physiology. It's necessary for results. And when you are talking physiology, you're talking how that you have to irritate the body as well as the mind. It's systemic. It's head to toe. But there's a fine line there, guys. I mean, it's the line that you have to push, and you got to be careful that the irritation that you're putting your body through doesn't become something that's becomes inflammatory. So irritation and inflammation in this sense is actually two different things that I'm talking about. Inflammation, especially chronic inflammation to the body, is brutal. It's wicked. It's in some cases, if it goes on too long, it will actually kill you, the inflammation. And as more time goes on, we know that 95% of the aches and pains that you have in your body and 95% of the issues that you're having with your body is because of inflammation. So it's a fine line, you know, that you have to be aware of. And that's part of that tunnel vision. You got to be careful because sometimes you override all the alerts that your body is trying to tell you. I know this from firsthand experience because it happened to me. It happened to me more than one time. And, again, it's a double-edged sword. You have to, push it to where you're in temporarily irritating the body. Listen, attention, which is, everything that goes into a gym workout and living the lifestyle of a bodybuilder, attention over time produces results. It's you have to be a very smart individual to be able to do that. And I call myself a meathead all the time. And I am at the heart, but you also have to be very smart at what you're doing. You're just purely being a knothead and a meathead is, you're doing things without even considering or being aware. That's not where it's at. Just because you have all kinds of brute strength and motivation and you'll do what's necessary. If you're not asking yourself why, that's also another very important question to ask you on a regular basis. Why are you doing this? And qualifying that with the kind of results that you're getting, it's important to ask those kinds of things because, especially as you get a little bit older, I'm noticing this at 67, and I talked about this last time on the podcast, is that every once in a while, I like to do a side chest shot just to get a because sometimes when you look in the mirror and you look at a photo or it's much different. A mirror is more subjective. And we learned this when we were doing photos, like after an event, a bodybuilding show. You think you look a certain way in the mirror, and the mirror plays a lot of tricks. But it's much different than a photo. For example, when you take photos and look at them over time, you'll be surprised how much they change because you've given it some time for your mind to become more objective. And so again, it's important when you're doing, and that's the reason why occasionally I'll do like a side chest shot, because, you know, my whole thing is I want to redefine what a body can do at different ages. And I got to tell you, it never gets easy, you know, and it never was easy when I was bodybuilding. Never, you know, you think that maybe at some point that it gets easier, but it doesn't. If anything, it gets harder because you keep pushing your potential. And when you're willing to do that, the consequence of that is it just keeps getting harder and harder to do. But that's kind of what separates the people that end up, you know, taking it to the fullest potential and to those that don't. It's just something that you have to do. So along the way, getting back to my point, you have to be smart about what you're doing, you know? So these guys that are taking it to the next level and getting all the way there, I'm not saying all of them are student of the game, but I'm going to tell you something. These guys are actually pretty smart to be able to get like that. You know, you just don't get like that to that level. So we talked about, you know, irritation versus inflammation is necessary. Psychological endurance is necessary. And psychological and emotional endurance is necessary. Those are two different things. Endurance is something that you feel. You have to feel the things that you're doing when you're a bodybuilder, whether it's what's going on in your mind, how are you feeling, because, you know, your emotions are constantly changing when you're doing stuff like this, especially when you're on the edge. Your body's in constant state of change. It doesn't seem like it's ever the same twice. You know, your mind is constantly because there's so many things going on in your life and in the world. And then the gym is just another dynamic that you have to juggle along the way. And yet it's really important to develop emotional and psychological endurance. The psychological endurance is what you think about. It's how you think about what you're doing, where the emotional endurance is how you're feeling about that. You see all the stuff that goes into bodybuilding. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, well, you know, what's so hard about doing what you're doing, you know? And it's like everything else. Anything that is has a high level of difficulty has, you know, there's always a lot more than meets the eye. And I think that a lot of us just know that to some degree, but it's really true. And okay, so emotional endurance, psychological endurance, these are aspects why you're doing the things that you're doing. And then on top of that, you have to learn how to embrace the pain, because you're going to be in pain. I would say, based on my own experiences, you're going to have to learn how to be in pain pretty much every day when you go to the gym. You know, my dad used to say, if it's not one thing, it's two. And that's kind of like what it is, you know, about being a real athlete. Listen, athletes in general are constantly playing in pain. It's just part of the game. Is it healthy? No, more than likely not. I mean, even like when I watch these guys that are playing, like watching professional tennis, I think those guys are pretty amazing. And, you know, they're constantly, there's always some ding that they're having to deal with. And, you know, if those guys, this is what the true pro is, you know, when somebody's not playing at the top of their game, you know, and what I'm really impressed with, and when I know they're a real pro, is that these guys they end up playing hurt. They don't make excuses for not being at their best. And I think that's really important. I think that's a part of, you know, actually improving your psychological endurance to that. Okay. Because, I know a lot of times the guys that are winning bodybuilding shows aren't at their best, but they're good enough to beat most people. Very important. Anyway, those are a few things that I thought that we should mention about constantly, you know, make sure that these things, remember to ask yourself along the way on a regular basis, these questions. Don't ever stop asking those questions, why you're doing something and all these things that we just talked about. Because that's part of the success of you and where you end up as far as reaching your full athletic potential. Again, whatever that may be, bodybuilding, a power athlete, strength athlete, you know, somebody who's developing endurance, somebody who's being trained for a specific sport. Those are all the areas that I've worked in. And I can tell you that there are, you know, and if you're a really good trainer, let's just talk about that for a moment, or somebody who's a coach for somebody, then what you've done to be able to train in these various areas and do it the right way is that you realize that there's so much to weight training. To those people who ask, how hard can this be? You just have no idea what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. Okay, so let's talk about the other day I had somebody reach out to me and they wanted me to keep talking about sort of the techniques and things like that in the sport. And, you know, there's ongoing discussion about always, and there always will be, about what's the best way to put on muscle. We talked about that before. And, you know, I keep thinking about something about sport and something that's relative. And I've always wanted to continue to stay relative at throughout my different ages. And of course, it takes energy to do that. And so the thing that I want to talk about now is what I'm really impressed with in athletics and in bodybuilding is the longevity of an athlete, the longevity of the what that athlete, particular athlete, professes. Like some of my heroes, if you will, or mentors or people I idolized in bodybuilding back in my day was Mike Mintzner. And of course, Mike Mintzner, from him, similar training. His was heavy duty training. The next guy that was sort of in that same line of training is Dorian Yates. These are all guys that stand out, and, you know, and Ronnie Coleman, for example. One of the common things among these three people that I'm identifying here is that they all lifted heavier more than they did lighter, at least based on what I saw. Now, maybe they did stints in their training where they went higher rep training, for example, like Tom Platz did. Tom Platz was somebody who did much higher rep training. Not that he didn't do some low rep training, but he was more medium to high. And there's a different athletes out there that have also done that. So they kind of lean more towards what I would call volume, where the people that I just have identified, Ronnie Coleman and those other two, that's more lifting with more intensity versus volume. Intensity is lifting more weight. And then of course the volume is doing more reps. Just to clarify and put those guys in this example, just to be in those, they're two different camps basically, but yet they're kind of one and the same because you can integrate that in a program. But what always strikes me, and again, this could be in any sport, bodybuilding or baseball, whatever it is, I'm always fascinated by longevity in a sport, why certain athletes seem to be able to keep reinventing themselves and are able to stay competitive to a large degree in a sport. That doesn't mean that they're able to compete like they did and look like they did within their 40s, but it's surprisingly and amazingly, look at some of these athletes that are playing at a high level now at older ages. I mean, look at guys like Brady and people like that are 40 years of age. I mean, that would have never happened years ago. So what they've been able to do, and I'm just using those guys as an example. Tiger Woods is another one that's been figuring out how to stay around, and many more have done that. But you know, but you have to take a look at what is it that kept them in the game, that kept them competitive. And, you know, obviously it does come down to understanding and being a student of the game and knowing your body better than anyone else. And that's hugely important. I just can't believe, and it's my opinion maybe in this case, that anybody that doesn't really dig down and really understand how their body works, they can't possibly keep reinventing themselves to that degree. I mean, look, you can have smart guys and trainers like myself who can guide you and help you. But at the end of the day, like I talked at the top of the show, it's you against you at the end of the day. And you have to understand your body to the nth degree, like no one else can possibly can. I mean, even like, you know, when I say your body, I also mean you're the way that you think and how you tick. I can get a good sense of when I'm working with somebody who is an athlete, and I'm, you know, that's really an important part of what a coach and a trainer can bring to the table, because they can tweak just enough and guide just enough to get that athlete to really engage their own self. You see what I mean? Because I have somebody that I'm working with as a client, and they have all kinds of motivation, but they're the type of person that they also get in their own way. And we do that a lot of times. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy when it comes to that. You know, it's a strange dynamic that you have to create success. But sometimes you just have to guide people. You have to help them get out of their way. You have to help yourself get out of their way, out of your way, in order to be able to keep breaking those different barriers. And with that person that I'm talking about, if I lead them, it's just going to be a very toxic, it's going to be a lot of headbutting. But if I guide them, if I just try to get to a spot where I can just guide them and let them figure this thing out themselves, those are the people that end up being that highly competitive throughout a long career, you know? So that's also very important. So you have to understand everything about your body and how it operates. And as it relates to I used to talk about the three components consistently, and I'm actually talking more about the fourth component, which is mental conditioning. And, you know, I've talked about it before, where I said that the most powerful thing in the world is thought, and we don't access near the capacity that we have. But I just, you know, as I've gotten older, I'm thinking, you know, thought is, and that mental conditioning is actually probably the most important thing. And of course, you put all four of those things together and learn how to manipulate that in a coherent program based on your stated goal. I don't think there's any way that people can stop you, because you are unstoppable. Of course, we all have our degree of what we're capable of doing as far as, you know, talent and that kind of thing. That doesn't mean that if you do all those components to the nth degree that you're going to go right shoot to the top. But whatever your full athletic and potential is, you will and have a much better chance of reaching that, you know? And when you get yourself to a spot where you know exactly what's going on inside your body, I mean, I do an HRT, and I work with a pharmacist and a doctor. And you know something, when they change, because again, you have to constantly, in my line and area where I'm at in my life now, because I want to stay competitive, I have to keep adjusting stuff, just like I did when I was bodybuilding when I was younger. And I have to keep looking now at lab work, and I have to understand how progesterone and estrogen and testosterone are a big part of how I perform. And, you're always having to adjust and adapt. And, you know, how hard is it to keep changing? And yet that's exactly what it takes. But I can tell when we make an adjustment, and I'm a part of my program with the doctor and the pharmacist, because I also know that if they change one thing on me and they tell me it's the same, I'll know within days if they're on or they're wrong about this thing. And that's the kind of level of understanding that I'm trying to get across for you guys that are out there. Getting back to volume conditioning and these three guys that I talked about, longevity. One of the things I've noticed about guys like Dorian and Mintzner, of course he's gone now, but still, and then Ronnie Coleman, take a look at their bodies now. And you know, and these guys were, they were monsters and animals in the way that they trained their body. But those guys now have a lot of issues. I don't know if you've seen with Ronnie, maybe he's gotten better, but what he put himself through, you know, he's got that mindset. All three of these guys have that mindset, but it ends up tearing your body up. And so on that side of it, I'm thinking, okay, how good is that program? Yeah, it produced a lot of results. I think Doreen was a six-time Mr. Olympia. All these three guys that I'm talking about had remarkable results in the industry. But is maybe that was their stated goal, and I'm good with that. Maybe that was their stated goal, and whatever happens now, the consequence of that, they live with it. You know, I mean, I'm good with that too. But I'm looking at this as more, how can you keep staying in the game if you wanted to? And I think that it's more a hybrid of what Ronnie did and maybe some of the guys that were doing ultra high reps. Because think about this. If you're that guy that wants to be strong, you know, some people just have an affinity for just wanting to be strong, you know, and that's okay. And we can work with that because, you know, there's a lot of ways. Because listen, there's no question and there's no doubt physiologically that volume conditioning, volume training is the best way, the most efficient way to put on muscle. End of story, end of report. Too many examples of that. But that doesn't mean that you can't be as strong as you possibly can and still be in that volume training. For example, if I, first of all, here's what I think that needs to be done, because I've reimagined training and I've developed a new kind of a training program. And I'm focusing on the amount of repetitions that you're doing in a 40-minute time period. And I'm focusing on featured body parts, like the main body part that I'm training in the first 20 minutes. And I'm telling you that my focus has been now, especially as I have gotten older, because I started this maybe probably when I came out of a 13 or 14 year layoff. I just started reimagining what I wanted my training to look like because I was older. And I'm telling you right now that in the first 20 minutes of your training, the featured body part, you should be training, you should be hitting about 200 and maybe depending on how efficient you are, 200 to 250 reps, maybe 300 reps, because there are some parts of the program that I have people on that are really, really advanced that are doing 600 reps at the end of a 40-minute training session. That's a ball buster, to say the least. But even with that being said, in the first 20 minutes, if I'm doing 200 reps, let's just say, and I just want to do reps of six, I want to make most of that 20 minutes a lower rep because I'm that guy that just wants to be strong. Just do sets of six, for example. And if you just did sets of six, do the math. I don't have a calculator here and I'm not that sharp right now. But if you're doing 200 reps and you were just doing six reps per set and resting, the key here in volume conditioning, different than the people that are training more for intensity, pure strength, is that with volume training, you only rest based on the reps that you're doing. So for example, if you're doing six reps, ideally what you want to do is rest 6 seconds and go back to do it. It's kind of like what we did with muscle round training to a degree. Very difficult to do this. I can guarantee you that. And of course, you know, for you guys that want absolute strength, you're not going to be happy with that, but you are doing low rep training. So if you just did six or eight repetitions, you do the math. How many sets would it take for you to get to 200 reps? Or if you wanted to go a different dynamic, go higher reps. I'll give you an example. Here's what I did this morning. My first set, and again, my sets and repetition sequencing, especially the repetitions, it's very different when I go in because it doesn't matter what the rep sequencing is. For example, this morning when I went in, I was training back T-bar row. I did a set of 20. That's what I started out with. A set of 20, as much weight as I could possibly do for a set of 20. And then I kicked it right down to, I did six sets of eight. So I did 48 reps plus the 20. I did that very same rep scheme doing the lat pull down and doing the low row. And that's just one example. I could have very easily gone in and started with six reps of six and then, or eight reps of six, or whatever the case may be, and then finish off with 20 reps. Changing those things like that, they're not a radical change. So it's a nuanced change. The body likes that stuff. And yet it's just enough of a, it changes that dynamic just enough in the way your rest periods are. how your body's adapting, and all that stuff is important for the end result as far as getting the reps. Feel what you train is always very important. You know, this idea about doing slow tempo versus more up tempo, medium tempo. Look, all this stuff works, and it just works to the degree that it works for you. So I'm not just saying that, look, there's only one way to do this. I'm saying there's a lot of ways to do this, but you have to keep tracking the things that you're doing and keep looking back. And we've talked about this before. And look at information and say, okay, at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of 3 weeks, what does that look like? And what did I look like when I started? And how do I look like now? One of the things that I really like, and this is where I think the heavier training really kicks in, and also along with free weight training, I like the body that is thick looking. You know, it's not so classical like a Frank Zane. Frank Zane had a beautiful classical physique like Arnold did. But for me, I just happen to be drawn to these guys that just look like they're strong and they're big. And if you can be aesthetically pleasing, man, I think you've nailed it when you can accomplish that. And so if I look back and I say, you know, I don't seem like I have that density, that thickness. That's what I mean by density. It's really simple to change. And I don't have to go away from volume conditioning. Listen, if you're resting 3 minutes in between each set, that's a lot different than just resting 6 seconds or 10 seconds. I guarantee you guys are not going to be able to do that. And again, maybe one of you are freaks that are out there, but I know that I just use that as the ideal. Just like back in the old days with Serious Growth and Big Beyond Belief, we tell people, look, rest 30 to 45 seconds. I guarantee you not everybody could do that towards the end of the training. It's very difficult to do. So high rep training, low rep training, it's all good stuff. It's feel what you train. I've also talked about how feeling what you train is actually more important than the form and technique. And sometimes I get people looking at me sideways, and that's okay. But for those of you that have been around, and if you know that when you're feeling it, generally speaking, when you're feeling what you're training, even though your form on the outside looks like it's a poor form or loose style form. And I've had people bag on me saying, oh my God, look at that shitty form. Well, they don't really understand that I'm feeling every bit. I'm figuring different, not limits for plats. I'm figuring how to put my body in different positions to feel that muscle. Listen, we're constantly looking for new ways to create a bigger impact, a bigger effect. In other words, feel what you're training. If that muscle if it's feeling what is being trained, okay, it only makes sense. It's going to get result. And that doesn't mean that at some point you're not going to hurt yourself, because you are. And if you're not, and if you're worried about that, then just stay. You don't become an athlete, because athletics is a part of, or being injured. Again, as I talked about before earlier on, being injured is just a part of the sport that you're in. And you just got to learn how to train around it, train through it, have that mindset that could just overcome, but be careful, because you don't want to override too much to where you shut yourself down, as I've done before. So again, I guess today's talk was just about, you know, I just want to keep focusing on the things that can make us better. And, you know, one of the things that's bothering me now these days is and this has more to do, not with the real dedicated athlete, but it just has to do with the people below that. And I'm not saying below in a bad way, but it's just like, why is it that most people quit what they're setting out to do? And it's very difficult to me because I'm that person who I just can't imagine that, why you would quit and why you would stop. And yeah, that is a problem. And again, it would be a problem for us that are super dedicated to do the sport if we didn't have all the things that we need. Those four components are a part of who we are or who we become. I don't think it just happens for you to become competitive and put on muscle. It's something that you have to learn, and you have to learn the hard way. My dad used to say, the school of hard knocks, baby. Something to be said from that. And I think to a degree, as I'm exiting out of this podcast, is I think too many people are talking out there and professing out there that's based on too much. They're just too smart, book smart. And I'd rather any day follow the advice of somebody who's been there, did that, learned the hard way, because those are the people that come out at the end of the day on top for the most part. So until next time, get some serious growth. I urge you guys to, let's communicate. Let's talk about this stuff. You can go to my website, leocostajr.com. You'll see a free health strategy, it's risk factor strategy. I talk about inside out conditioning, and it's free. It's like 26 or 27 questions. Find out what your immune system and what kind of shape that your body and mind is in. Let's address that. It's free. And why don't you start taking the necessary steps for you to reach your full athletic potential? See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.